I need to apologize to you in advance if I sound a little disjointed this morning, largely because I had my homily, my sermon, all planned out and practiced and ready to go, and then late yesterday afternoon and early evening, I decided to scrap it and to preach on something else. The reason being, circumstances dictate that somehow, as a community of faith that gathers regularly here to praise God and to seek God's blessing, we need to think on something very profound. And what we need to think on is, yet again, in our society, there is yet another massacre. And again, a group of people have been killed, murdered, in large part for who they are, for nothing that they did to offend anyone except to be, to claim an identity. And in this particular case, to claim an identity that worships God in a particular way, an ancient way, a way which is part of our own Judeo-Christian heritage. I'm sure by this late morning hour you have heard about the terrible news from Pittsburgh, where 11 people, innocent people, gathered for worship on their holy day of the week, were slain for no other reason than who they are. Maybe then the reason I've changed direction is because also this morning the church has given us the book of Job, the final reading we have over a 5-week period, and it is the book of Job that perhaps helps us to move forward. Job, you see, is a rather long book. It has lots of chapters, and it is a very long book for us to read, and it makes it even longer when it seems that every time we turn the page and we read more, we're looking for a solution to the situation, and none comes. In fact, the story just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. Job is painted in the beginning as a righteous man, as someone who worshiped God and sought to live the principles of God in his life. And he gets caught up in a seemingly weird and cosmic game between God and Satan. Because Satan is tempting God yet again and says to him, you know, this servant of yours, Job, that you like so much and that you showered so many blessings on, this servant of yours, Job, he's only like that because you've given him so much. That's why he respects you. And so Satan challenges God and he says to God, take it all away and see, and I'll wager you that he will turn away from you. And so the story of Job throughout that many chapters is one thing after another. Losing the people he loves the most, losing his children, losing his wealth and his property. And 3 alleged friends come seemingly to console him, and all they do is make things worse. And finally, in the end, Job still has not capitulated. Job still trusts God. Job is still living righteously. And so finally, the last straw, he loses his health. And in all of this, Job never relents. Job even takes some time to criticize God. He argues with God. He tells God that God doesn't know what he's doing, but still he does not turn away from God. He remains faithful and trustworthy. And in the end, it is for this reason that rather abruptly in this last chapter of the book of Job, in this 42nd chapter, all of a sudden God says, okay, the game is over, and suddenly Job has all of those things that our lesson told us today. Another family, many children, wonderful place to live, and riches beyond the ancient imagination. And we who read this might say, see, that's good, because God made it right in the end. But I challenge you to think about this for a little bit, because you see, it's not something that can be simply papered over. Job's human sufferings were real. His grief was deep. He bears the scars of the loss of the things he loved most dearly, and even bears on his body the scars of the boils that were there because of the illness that he suffered. Nothing that God could give him, no matter how much it was, could erase any of that. It was all still there in his memory, in his body, indeed, in his soul. No, it might be the fairy tale ending that many of us would want, but in reality, when we think of what's really still there in Job's mind and heart and body, it isn't the ending we want at all. Because it reminds us that the book of Job is one very long wrestling match between good and evil. It's one very long wrestling match between God and Satan. And Job, it seems, is simply innocently caught in the crossfire. He's the one who ends up being the object of this wrestling match. No, it's not the ending we want, but maybe, just maybe, it's the ending we really need. Even those first verses of today's lesson are refreshingly honest when he's really sort of giving God the what for. Look what you've done to me, and yet you don't seem to make any sense of it. In the end, when we think about it, Job never really gets the answers he's looking for. And yet, at some point, he decides, I've heard enough. Job, in his argument, his conversation with God, never gets the things that he seemed to want deeply, some God giving him some reason, some explanation why all of this was going on, and he never gets it. It's still unresolved. But in the end, if we stop to think about it, something has indeed changed. In the midst of all of the suffering, of all of the danger, of all of the problems, God appears. And Job is able to argue with God because God is listening and even replies to Job. So God speaks. He speaks into the gap, into the hole that is in Job's heart. In the end, God never answers all the questions. God doesn't repair all of the damage that's been done. It isn't like he could magically wave his divine hand and erase all of the scars that Job now carries with him. Even though the reward is great, he still has those scars. In the end, God doesn't undo the damage. He simply rewards Job for being faithful. And yet, in the midst of all of this, Job, almost in a silly way, is still trusting God. Job still has faith. Faith despite all of the things that have been happening. Faith born in this messy life that he had. Faith that was there regardless of the outcome. He didn't have faith because of the reward. The reward came because of his faith. He had the faith he needed to keep going, to move on, to carry forward. You know, most of us know this phenomenal and miraculous thing called duct tape. It's something that is marvelously made. It can fix anything. A leaking pipe, hold a piece of furniture together, bandage something up if you need it in a hurry. It does everything. It even holds together something that might be cracking and breaking. Maybe this stuff at the end of this story in Job is like that. It's God's duct tape. It's meant to just sort of cover over the cracks and hold things together so that Job can live the rest of his life in peace. Maybe that's what we need right now. Maybe we need a little bit of God's duct tape. In the period that I have been here as your priest, we have reflected at least three times on similar kinds of events. The day when over 30 people were massacred in a nightclub because of who they claimed to be and who they were. The day that 9 people were shot in church studying the Word of God because of the color of their skin, of who they claimed to be and who they were. And now 11 more murdered, even as they gathered to worship and give God on the great Shabbat. Even as that service starts, the first words are Shabbat Shalom. May you be made whole again on this day of rest. And into that came this senseless act of violence. Our world is very much like Job's world. Maybe not our lives individually, but certainly when we look around, we can begin to ask those same questions. And it seems, even as we ask those questions, God is as silent to us as he is to Job. And yet, if we would be like Job, we need to trust. We need to have faith. For that faith does not end all the questions. It doesn't provide all the answers. It doesn't make for fairy tale happy endings. Life isn't like that. Faith doesn't even put our world back together. In fact, at best, it's just a patch job, like using duct tape to hold a piece of furniture together. But maybe it's exactly what we need so that we begin to realize that anything we know in this world is passing. Anything we know in this world does not last. And the only world that lasts forever is the world put together in God's kingdom. That's shalom, that peace, that wholeness that God wishes for all of us will never be experienced in this world. But as Jesus comes to make all things whole again, as Jesus, the divine physician, can heal a blind man, as Jesus, the healer, puts things back together, we can only pray, but those who grieve this day will be comforted. And they need to be comforted not by strangers, as Job, but by us. If you know someone who might be impacted by what has happened, even simply because they are different, they are other, they are not us, then move out in love. That's the command we have from our Jesus, from our Christ, to love. For that is the power that can heal. It is the source of our faith. It is the trust we exercise in God. And so solemnly we remember these who have died and are martyrs for their faith. And not these alone, but all those who in our society in these days die a senseless death because of useless and unnecessary violence. It infects every part of our nation, every part of our society. And we could call out like Job, "Why, O Lord, why? How long?" But in the end, we must remain faithful. It is a challenge. There are no fairy tale endings. There is only faith and trust and hope. And in the end, as St. Paul teaches us, the only thing that truly remains is love.